It is a pleasure. For those of you who haven't heard Michael, you're going to be blessed. We just give him liberty to go wherever the Holy Spirit wants him to go and do whatever the Holy Spirit wants to do. So, Michael, it's a pleasure to have you in the house.
It's a pleasure to be here. I just immediately, when I heard that prophecy from Al about 6 weeks, I don't know about you, but when I hear 6 weeks, I immediately pull my calendar out and make notes. And because I read the paper and I read the AP wire news, and I want to know what God's doing. And God doesn't announce that. Says he doesn't do anything in the world unless he announces it or tells his servants, the prophets, first. And so if you want to keep up with, it's one thing to see the news, but it's another thing to understand what God's doing in the middle of the world, and it's incumbent on us to understand what's going on around us. Gloria says, hey, for those who don't know, I'm married to Gloria, and she's a friend of people up here, and she was released last week by her cardiologist. He says, get out, I don't want to see you for a year.
Yes.
Which is absolutely amazing. And one other thing, just trying to recap what's in my fluffy head from the word you had. You said something in that in your word about we put ourselves in the way of blessing or please do, because I got a sermon when you said that. So I want to be able to quote it right, but I got a sermon. And I haven't got, well, I don't want to preach it, but in Psalm 133, it says, if you dwell in unity, it goes on and talks about unity and describes it in two different ways, and it's real neat to look at that. But it says, when you walk in together in unity, then there the Lord commands blessing. And so you got to, so imagine that there's a pathway right up here, and it says, it's not the yellow brick road, it's the glory golden road of blessing.
Amen.
Amen. That was Pentecostal. And God says, I've commanded blessing. It's right there. I command it. So if you want to be blessed, don't stand over here and go, oh, God, bless me. Say, get over here on the road, and all you got to do to get here is to walk in unity with the people around you. And if you do that, you place yourself in the way of blessing. You're not asking God to pull the blessing spout over to you. You're putting yourself in the way of blessing. So I don't know. That probably wasn't a bit in what you were thinking. But I heard all that. The minute, so send me the, if you would, or send me the tape or the MP3. You can't say tape anymore because that dates you. Okay, yeah, that's right. So it'll be online in transcript, or you may not.
Is that word not going to be on? I'll send you the transcript.
Please do. I'm telling you, you gotta see. We're living in a world now that's in a large measure walked so far outside the blessing of God that if you're rubbing shoulders with the world, if this is the blessed, the glory, golden blessing road, then if you're rubbing shoulders in your heart with society, you're way over here.
Yeah.
And God's radar can't even find you because you're so far off the screen.
Right.
And you got to think now. So if you're letting the world think for you, you're rubbing shoulders with something where God's not only not finding you, but he's turning his back to what's going on. So anyway, all that was free. So Gloria says hi. She's doing better and getting better every day. And she's taking cardio rehab. I don't know if there's anybody here that does that stuff, but they're geniuses. There's physical therapist people, and they add weights every week, and they measure her, and they're building her body right up, and she's getting stronger, and leg pressing, and she's coming home talking about working on this machine and that machine and the lat machine and the something else machine. I'm going, this is Gloria. It's talking about that. So that's amazing. All right, I've been so struck for the last 3 months, I think. I had finished my Bible reading. I have this little thing where I check off every chapter of the Bible, and I do that because if you don't do that, you'll only read the stuff you like. And you won't, so discipline says, so I reward myself. I read the stuff I don't really think I like, and then I reward myself by reading something I like, you know. And so Genesis is, I can't read Genesis much because it's maybe my favorite book. There's so much packed into it. You just read one little chapter and there's, you know, five centuries of stuff God explains to you. But I started fresh. I got through everything else. I was allowed to go back and read Genesis again. And it starts off, in the beginning, God created. And it almost knocked me to my knees. The astonishing degree of separation between the world we live in, which no longer acknowledges God, or the creation of God, or anything about God, with this picture of God hovering over creation. I was right back in that. This God just flooded me with this thing about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and that flame of fire is just another picture of God hovering over creation, because we're a new creation. Because Christ died for the sin of all mankind. He was all of men, including Adam, wrapped up in one. A body you have prepared for me. And the body God prepared for him was all of mankind, wrapped up in him. And when he died, Adam died. And then when Christ rose again, he's the second Adam. And he brings with him a new creation. He's the second Adam. And so this picture of the Holy Spirit hovering over us, and not the tame holy dove Holy Spirit, but the fire.
Yes.
The fire of God, Holy Spirit, hovering over us. And then I was looking up the New Jerusalem and the description of the New Jerusalem with the river of God flowing out from the temple of God. And it said, you don't even need a sun because he will be the sun. You will not need a light because he will be the light. And I'm going, oh my God. There's the baptism in the Holy Spirit with him hovering over us as the new creation. Here's the God hovering in the beginning over the waters, and now the new Jerusalem at the end of days, the light of God himself, the glory of God himself hovering over the waters of the new river of life.
Amen.
It's a recreation. It's new creation. It's new life. It's not us being stuck in old death things, but about us living in a life and in a power that's for now. And I started reading that thing in Genesis, and it made my knees buckle at the idea of everything I'm doing is under him. He's there. He's over everything. I remember years ago, Gloria and I were watching a movie, and we went to see a movie. It was a moving picture then.
Yeah.
And it was. And a cinema. It was a cinema. And it had a lot of occultic stuff in it. In the middle of it, the Holy Spirit said to Gloria, not to me because he knew better than to try to talk to me, he said to Gloria, get me out of here. And, you know, that was 35 years ago. I've been pondering that ever since. You know, God started off, he made a temple. And he created a set of laws, external realities, external laws, so that he could at least get around mankind. And he made a dwelling place, a temple. But it was never in his heart to build a building to dwell in, because what was in his heart was to dwell in you as his temple. So Jesus comes on the scene, and It says in Hebrews, a body you've prepared for me. That is, he summed up all of mankind, all of the physical mankind was summed up in him, including Adam. And when he died on the cross, that first Adam died with him. And he did that because he wanted to come. He wanted to create a temple in you. Because he wanted to come live in you. And he died not just for you to get saved and not go to hell. Did you hear anybody talking about hell? Anybody? Very uncomfortable reality. So, to do this, first he had to make you in his image. So this distinguishes you from the animals, you understand? See, animals were never intended by God to be his tabernacle, his dwelling place. But you are. So he begins by making you in his image so that at the right time he would be able to come to you and fill you and live in you, and you could become his temple, his dwelling place. His dwelling place will be with man. So everything you hear that tries to equate animals to human beings is anti-Christ, anti-temple, anti-dwelling place. Because it wants to either reduce us down to an animal or bring the animals up to us. And if they can convince society to bring animals up to our level, then if we're made in the image of God, well, then of course those animals are made in the image of God, right? But that would be heresy, wouldn't it? So Jesus dies. Adam dies. Jesus is raised from the dead. When he is, the second Adam is born. And then he turns to us. The whole point of the gospel, see, is to bring us to the place where we are fit dwelling places for God. It's the whole purpose of the gospels. So it's an incidental benefit that we don't go to hell. It's incidental. The purpose of from the beginning, when he's hovering over the waters, creation takes place, and then he begins to blast pictures of recreation. So when the flame is hovering over the children of Israel at the Red Sea, and he sends the wind and blows the water out, the Holy Spirit is hovering over those waters, and we go right through it. That's why water baptism is so important. It really is. You need to reenact this thing that you have been brought through the waters from death to life. So, he turns to us. So he dies, gets rid of Adam number one. Adam number two gets born. With Adam number two, the creation purpose of us being made in his image begins to become clear. Because when we're made, Adam number one dies, Adam number two is born. And immediately Jesus, I could see it like something, but he turns because he's now ready to point to us. So he begins to prepare his people for this event. And the event, see, is just like being back at creation. Yeah. It's amazing how from the beginning, everything God does is intricately woven together. Yeah. And every part tells a story about every other part. Yeah. So if you read in the beginning, Spirit of God hovered over the waters. I preached a sermon on that recently. The Spirit of God hovered over the waste, howling wilderness is a literal translation of that. You were nothing but a waste, howling wilderness before you got saved. He hovered. So now we come to this. He's got everything set. He's gone. And the people are waiting. And the Holy Spirit comes. What does he do? This flame hovers over them. Bam! New creation. And what it means is that at that point, they are baptized in the Holy Spirit. So it's not just a matter of that little cup of the Holy Spirit you drunk to get saved. It's a matter of the God himself with Jesus, who's the baptizer in the Holy Spirit, picking you up. And what he's doing, see, is not, he's not saying, I want to get you saved so you don't go to hell. What he's saying is, be my dwelling place. Yes. Be my dwelling place for eternity. Whew! Down in the Holy Spirit. All of a sudden, we're sitting in the movie and the Holy Spirit, who's inside of Gloria, I don't remember if he was inside of me. I think he takes vacations from me. But get me out of here. You understand how profound that truth is? Get me out of here. Wherever you go, you take the Holy Spirit, because you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And listen, it's more than that. It's that. Come here, Pauline. I'm sorry, Pauline. Pauline and I were prophesying all day long. So just take me. It'll be all right. Just take my hands. Yeah. And Jesus said over and over again, wherever two or more of you are gathered together, there am I where? In the midst. So, thank you. Oh, you can. So, it's not just that there's a dwelling place that I'm the tabernacle of the Holy Spirit, but Jesus goes on to say, whenever you come together in this unity, which is prefigured and talked about in Psalm 133, whenever you come together in this unity, there I am in your midst. That is, you constitute this church, new word, this ecclesia, and I'm going to be in your midst. So we become the dwelling place of the Most High God. You start thinking about this, and then you start thinking about where you go and what you do.
Yes.
Okay, you don't know it, but you need to look. You need to really look the next time you walk in a restaurant. I want to tell you, you need to look. Because invariably, if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, when you walk in a public place, there will be a ripple of something in the room. We don't look for it because we're not aware that this is the tabernacle, this is the temple, this is the tabernacle of David, this is the temple of Solomon, this is Ezekiel's future temple, whatever. It's all wrapped up inside of me. And when I walk in, I'm bringing the glory of God with me. And there is a ripple that'll go through that room. Somehow, somewhere, somebody's going to turn around when you walk in because you bring the Holy Spirit with you. Somebody's going to turn around and just look at that front door. Look. Look the next time you go in someplace. And it's going to go do to you, wow. We're back at Gloria sitting in the movie. The Holy Spirit's saying, get me out of here. But see, wherever you go, you're carrying him with you. You're carrying this glory. So God said to me the other day, and I don't ever want to come here and preach prophetic sermons because I don't particularly feel like you need a prophetic sermon because of who's already here. But it's, I don't know, it gets drawn out of me when I walk into place. So the Holy Spirit says to me the other day, those who minister before the glory must be in the glory. Scared me to death. my knees buckled again. I was sitting down, thank goodness, but my knees buckled again. We're losing our grip as a church in the United States, well, in Western world. We're losing our grip on what holiness is.
Yeah.
We've lost our grip on what sin is and on the repulsiveness of sin. We've lost our grip. Massive numbers of teenagers now. Well, not just teenagers. People all over the world now believe it's okay to have sex together outside of marriage. It's okay to live together, cohabit, fornicate. All those words that nobody says anymore. It's okay. And if we feel that way, surely, if we feel that way, and if we're enlightened that way, then God must feel that way too. But that's what the world says. Surely, if we all in this room vote it's okay, then surely God must feel the same way. And we go right back to Gloria sitting in that movie theater and the Holy Spirit saying, get me out of here. Get me out of here. So, I know it's a prophetic word that I feel like is like an advancing solar eclipse or something, but I just feel it sweeping across the entire world and the whole church. Beware and understand my holiness. Understand what sin really is. Understand what I've done for you. And realize you are the temple of the Most High God. And He has designed from the beginning. He made you in His image. You're not like the animals. Listen, I'm seeing more and more of these videos about one animal, a lion, sitting down and playing with a lamb. You know why they're doing that? You know why those pictures are showing up? Because they're feeding the lion really good. Do you understand? There's nothing supernatural in it. They're just feeding the lion really good. So it'll lay down with the lamb because it's just eaten a big meal. And it thinks it'll save the lamb for later. Let's play with it first. But all these things are coming at us, trying to instruct us that God is not who we thought He was. Holiness is not what we thought it was. And it's okay to minister before the glory out of a place of uncleanness. But God is going to deal with pastor after pastor after pastor and preacher after preacher after preacher who've been attempting to minister before the glory when they were not living in the glory. So I want to take... That was the preamble to my sermon. That's funny. I want to talk about first Hebrews 10:15. If you can turn there. God loves you guys. He woke me up at 4:44 in the morning to give me this message. Wonder what's important about 4:44. That's like the 15th time He's woken me up at 4:44. What is that, I wonder? No, no. Come on. Really? Yeah, read it to me. He's been waking me up, I don't know, 15, 20 times at 4:44 a.m.
Then He brought me by way of the north gate to the front of the house, and I looked, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord, and I fell on my face. Ezekiel 44:4.
Wow. So He woke me up at 4:44. Hebrews 10:15, and the Holy Spirit also testifies. So if, good heavens, And the Holy Spirit also testifies to us, for after saying, this is the covenant that I will make with them. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws upon their heart, and on their mind I will write them. Wow. Now, that's a quote from Jeremiah 31:33. He actually quotes there two of the prophets. First is Jeremiah 31:33. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. They will not teach again each man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. And then Ezekiel 36:26, moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. Look at that. Wow. 444. Well, I can't be the only one that's being waked up at 444. Really? That's like some weird movie, isn't it? Like the, you know, we all get to dream about the mountain we're supposed to go climb and there's the aliens up there. That's like 444. That's something. So Jesus came to take up residence in those who believed on him. The ecclesia becomes the embodiment of Christ, the second man. Wow. About reading that again, Al. Ezekiel 44.
Ezekiel
44. 4. Okay. Takes me a little bit to get it straight. How about reading that again?
Then he brought me by way of the north gate to the front of the house, and I looked, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord, and I fell on my face.
So what God is saying to me and telling me to tell you is his glory is upon us. He has structured everything from creation on to come to Pentecost so that you could become his dwelling place.
Yes.
And as your as his dwelling place, his glory is in you. And it's incumbent, it rests on us, it's incumbent on us that we would recognize his glory is in us, and even the revelation tonight, his glory is on us. Because not only are we changed from the inside, but we're clothed with something. There's an ordination that takes place, a priestly ordination with the fire of God. John said he comes to baptize us with the Holy Spirit and with fire.
Yes.
I believe this is an ordination. And open your eyes when you walk in a public place, in a restaurant. Just walk in and just take a quick look. You're going to see somebody in that restaurant. Just turn around because they're going to feel a ripple of something. They might turn right back around because it's just you, but they're going to feel something. And wherever we are, we carry this glory with us. And it's going to become more and more important as we live our lives together and individually that we do it in such a way that we become worthy of standing before his glory, because I can make myself unworthy I can make myself an insult to the temple of the Most High God. All I have to do is get angry at you, fall out of unity with you. That'll start. That'll get me off the road, won't it? If there's a commanded blessing, all of us, if I'm not in unity with you, harboring resentment, unforgiveness, or anything else, I get kicked off. Jesus was so clear over and over again. Do a word study in the New Testament on, quote, one another, end quote. It'll allow you to do a computer study with those two words done in that sequence. If you do, you're going to get about 49 or 50 hits. The teaching in the New Testament is massive about relationship one with another. Because he demands unity, because Christ is not going to come where there's a fit of arguing going on or a fit of resentment. He's not going to show up. I won't either. Do you want to go to somebody's house? Let's go over to so-and-so's house. They're having a fight. Excuse me. Was Southern for fight. They're going to have a fight. I've been teaching Pauline how to speak Southern.
Who's learning who here?
And you don't want to go over to somebody's house who's in the middle of a fight, do you?
No.
You think Jesus wants to come to our house? We're in the middle. He's going, I think I'll go watch the ball game. all right. Of course, the Blue Devils won. Thank you, Jesus. That started off as a Methodist church school. Then they got the mascot, the Blue Devils. Wake Forest started out as a Baptist college, and they got the Demon Deacons. Well, yeah. So, the full gospel is not conversion plus spirit baptism plus charisma. Well, that's what I first thought. You get saved, and then you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, then you get some spiritual gifts, and that's the full gospel. That's what Jesus wanted, and we're fine. But here's, look at this, Colossians 3:9. I just love this verse. It's Acts 9 through 11. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. There we go back to the image. In the beginning, you're made in the image of God. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and freeman, but Christ is all and in all. That is the gospel. That's the new covenant. And when Christ is in me, then he has written his law on my heart. So all of a sudden, I don't tithe because I'm told to. Why do I tithe? Because I want to. I don't go repent to my brother because I have to walk on the way of blessing. I go repent to my brother because I want to, because I can't stand the thought of being in disunity. I don't take communion because I'm told to. I take communion because I couldn't bear not to. I love not because I'm told to, but because it becomes inescapable. Jesus died for you. You've been granted a value greater than anything Neiman Marcus or anybody else sells. Right? You need to go to that auction, by the way, and buy stuff. Really. That's a great idea. I'm sorry. It's off the topic, but it'll be worth a lot to somebody to go buy that stuff. That stuff will be worth a lot in God's eyes. You go buy it, it'll have a value. Does that make sense to you? I hope it does. It makes sense to me. So I'm called to walk in this glory. And as I am doing that, then this new covenant promise that he will take away my stony heart, my hard heart, my mocking, sarcastic, Southern heart, and he'll give me a heart of flesh. And you won't have to get around me and instruct me on when to take communion or to love my brother, because I'm going to be doing that because that has been written on my heart and it becomes inescapable. And in that place, do you ever have this experience that sometimes the Holy Spirit speaks to you and you don't know he spoke to you? It's just this desire comes up in your heart to do something and you go do it and realize 2 weeks later, that was the Holy Spirit. You didn't know it. It wasn't like he had to go, like I'm sending you a text message, Michael. No, but he's, if you're when you're that dwelling place, it just, your heart just rises up and you realize later, that must have been God. I can't believe that. Just all of a sudden, that little thing just happened. So the word I have is that. That's chopped up a little bit because my knees are still buckling. Now listen, I pray that the thing you're left with is that everything in your life you begin to see. The Spirit of God, the flame of fire, the wind, hovering over everything you are and have and walk in and see and taste and touch, that it all comes from him. He's the creator God. There's nothing in this world he didn't make. There's nothing in this world that it came into existence on its own. It all was created by him. And I walk out the door and I look at the stuff going on around me and the mockery of God and our president saying Christians, those mean Christians who just won't learn. Read the other day, some fancy guy up in New York said the Christians have to be made to believe in the LGBT agenda. They have to be made to think correctly. Then that was in New York Times. Then I look at that and I think, oh my God, all I can see is that, him hovering over the waters and the flame hovering over me and you and our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, symbolized in the priestly garment with the names of the 12 tribes. That's representing us being written. Lamb's Book of Life. Do you know that? And remembering once again Gloria, the Holy Spirit saying, get me out of this movie. Don't take him where he doesn't want to go. Be a responsible temple. Go to the right place. Look at the right thing. Listen to the right thing. Be aware of his holiness. And if we do that, I think more and more, I'm praying for this, walk in the restaurant, and the day's going to come when I believe we're going to walk in the restaurant. Something's going to happen. Somebody's going to stand up, but something's going to happen because an irrepressible glory walks in the room. And though it is not comprehended, the darkness in the room can't swallow the light.
That's right.
And there's, and let me be just honest with you, the lawyer is talking. Don't think that any solution lies in a government law.
That's right.
For you or against you.
That's right.
The solution does not lie in laws. The solution lies in the glory of God within you.
Amen.
You are the temple of the Most High God.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So, I want to ask you to do something, and which is just to stand up, and I want to pray that what fell on me falls on you. I want to share it. Oh, that's great, isn't it? Let me let you share in my fear.
It's the fear of the Lord.
It's the fear of the Lord. So all I want you to do, I don't want you to do anything. I want you to stop doing something. I just want you to stop. Just imagine you taking your heart and your mind and everything and you slip the gear shift right into neutral and just stop. You don't have to figure anything out. I think the Holy Spirit's going to let me do this. And I just want to read this scripture and then pray that what happened to me, this kind of knee-buckling, okay, whoo, thing would happen to you when you would walk out of here with the fear of the Lord. Or an awe of God. Or astonishment that you're made in His image. What a thing. What an astonishing thing. And if you're made in His image, how incongruous to be caught up in sin. So just put yourself in neutral. Let your motor just go down to idle. That's it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. He's hovering as Creator God over every part of your life, over your family, your state, your nation, your body, your car, everything. Holy Spirit, I ask you to just release the revelation that you're the hovering Creator God. You were hovering over the face of the unformed, waste, howling wilderness waters. You were in the pillar of cloud hovering, the cloud and the pillar of fire hovering. You were hovering over the heads of those 120 being baptized with the Holy Spirit. And in that new city, you will be the light itself, the sun itself. You will hover and illuminate everything. And there will be no sin or darkness in that city. Holy Spirit, just release that revelation to everybody in this room. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
You can leave that.
Okay.
Do what you did with Pauline.
All right.
When Michael did this, this is what was over the mercy seat.
Right.
The place where the glory dwells. When you can walk in unity, the mercy seat and His glory is in your midst.
And look at this. That the cherubim over the mercy seat is just another picture. The Spirit of God hovering over the waters. Mm-hmm. It's the same picture, the same word, mm-hmm. that He's there, your Creator God, hovering over everything. These cherubim were looking down, mm-hmm. and they were made out of one piece of gold.
That's right.
So there was a unity. You see that? Mm-hmm. Good heavens, this stuff preaches. There was a unity between them.
Amen.
So there's that blessing place. Amen. Right there. And you know, anytime any two of us get together, that's what Jesus said is right between you. Just any two of you, you get together and agree. He's going to be there in your midst. And this is the mercy seat. It's the glory, it's the golden road of glory blessing. Yeah.
Just as the two of you were standing there like that, I got a picture of a unity coming between the North and the South. There's been a separation for so long, and that the Lord is tearing down that separation. And I just got such a clear picture as your hands were touching of a unity between the North and the South of this country. And the lies that have been told and believed, that God is going to expose them and eradicate them, and that there's going to be many more men of God from the North and the South walking out together in a way that's never been seen before.
Let me tell you something. I've been praying so hard because I've been, when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, the Lord just showed us all this stuff about the Civil War. But ultimately, the price that the North paid to bring slavery to an end, and it was all tied in with the Emancipation Proclamation. Prior to that proclamation being issued, the North had won no major battles.
That's right.
After that proclamation was issued, they won every single battle. They lost how many lives? Was it 900,000? The South lost? I mean, the North lost? But now look, what's happening? What's the value? All those men died, but are we really seeing? No, Satan is trying to go and steal what the blood of 900,000 men tried to earn.
But something shifted tonight, even in just that.
Amen. May it be so.
And it's not a coincidence, Al, that you and Casey originated from the South and that God brought you from there to here. And so there's a bridge from there to here and from here to back.
Well, we actually originated from here. But I love you all.